Our Marvelous Recovery 101
wow.
jingle.
Wow.
She's fantastic.
This is an archival
thing.
Can you
live this fantasy life? This has been a jingle that truly has been, what do they call it? What is the word when something is locked on forever? Like a cult. It's like a cult classic.
It is. Fran and Bill both sent in jingles at the same time when we ran that contest.
The very first time.
Years ago, yeah. And those two jingles have become
cult classics.
The standards in our
recovery,
cult pantheon.
Recovery.
They are.
Recovery 101. Recovery. Recovery. Recovery 101. We got doot-doots.
In
welcome
any A you choose
to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelley
and Mark.
Dude.
Sweet.
Dude.
Sweet.
Yes.
No.
So.
What?
No.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
Who's on first? I don't
no,
know
what's
who's on second.
Second.
Ah. So. We were just having some discussions earlier on how we're going to go about taking calls. Mark has a friend that does a podcast, and they take calls. We're going to try. It looks like we may need to buy some equipment, so we may try and run some kind of fundraiser, because I don't think it's like gigantically expensive, but I don't know. But we'll.
But I don't think this board will carry it.
We'll.
And you know, it's our annual. Bruce is going to figure out how we're going to take calls bid. So here
well,
we go again.
The
this is what the third year in a row when at the beginning of
I
the
might
year.
I help this year.
Oh my gosh!
Hey, the board. The board will probably do it.
There's a bunch of open holes. I don't know what that means.
Wow. Or we could do a porn.
It's 12 step, 13 step radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of holes in that board. Just go ahead and plug into them. We'll be fine.
Bugger one.
So, Shelley.
What?
How's the Recovery 101 convention coming with the people in the group?
I don't know.
Who's
did
planning
you talk
it?
To anybody in there about
no.
planning it?
No.
Didn't we talk about that at one point, yeah, that you were going to mention in the group that we needed to start working on that?
We start no. What happened?
No, no,
was
no. We
you
said that you
that
were going
to
do
I
it.
I needed to do it, and I said I'm not doing it, and that was where we left it.
No, that's I don't remember it going like that. I thought you were going to post something in there.
You guys are going to force me to get a Facebook account, aren't you?
It's been discussed in the group, but to be honest, I actually haven't spent a lot of time in the group in the last couple of weeks. I should go back and show my face and say, I'm still here. I'm sorry. I abandoned you all. But it didn't
you
really
you post shows
go
in the group?
No, I don't. You do.
Oh, I thought you posted one in there the other day.
No.
Oh, never mind.
Never mind.
It's been discussed, but nobody's really come to the fore and said, hey, I want to do this. So, yeah. Everybody wants to go, but nobody wants to do anything. So basically, we should just pick a weekend and everybody just show up.
Well, you know what?
There you go.
We're almost getting to the point where we should start planning for next summer's Recovery 101 commit. Then we have like a year to work on it.
Okay.
Fran wants to do it in Tennessee.
Fran wants to do it in Vegas.
Fran wants to do it in Vegas.
Oh.
It was Paul that wanted to do it in Tennessee.
Oh.
Because we all want to go see Fran.
Paul wants to do it in freaking Kuala Lumpur.
Paul
or
wants
some
to do
other
wherever,
exotic destination.
Because he goes everywhere anyway, so I don't think he really cares. I think he just thought it was interesting because he hadn't been there yet.
I got to tell you, our good friend Paul, he jet sets all over the place.
Yep. Yes, he does. He posts some really interesting pictures, too. Yeah.
That drug cartel money is really working for him.
Yazzer. Yazzer.
I think he's a advertising.
Yeah, he's exact, advertising guru.
I don't know who his clients are, but they must be pretty good. Because he gets a chance to travel the world.
Yes.
So what's going on this week, guys? Anything spectacular? I know my aunt and uncle are coming down this coming week.
I think I'm going to spend some quality time sucking air.
Bruce got excited for
a
second.
There's an alternative.
Bruce sat up a little straighter in his chair for a minute.
I think I'm going to try to stay alive this week. That's my goal.
Parts of me stood up real straight.
My goal is to not die.
I'm going to the Long Beach Grand Prix on Sunday.
Oh, that's like the final one, right?
Yeah. So we need to record appropriately.
Why is it the final one?
I don't know. I'll probably find out while I'm there, but I'm sure there's some good reason. I'm not a big Grand Prix guy, but my daughter lives in Long Beach, and she called me up and said, "Hey, I got tickets for the Long Beach Grand Prix, and I really want you to come with me." What do you say to that?
Done deal.
Done.
I'll be there with bells on.
Are they good in bells?
Yeah, well, you know.
It's like the Gong Show.
I just had this vision of you dressed as a Morris dancer and went, "Ugh."
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening?
I wasn't thinking of those
Long
kind of
bells. Long Beach Grand Prix. Is it glistening?
Yep.
So, Charlie.
What?
How was your day?
We already discussed that on the last show.
Well, I just thought maybe there'd be something you had forgotten, perhaps.
No.
No? All right.
Nope.
All right.
Well, you know what that means, then. Well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
Scheiße.
I got to tell you, I went to stand up.
Uh-huh.
And the moment I went to stand up.
Don't step on my toes.
I stepped on my cord.
Uh-huh.
So I went to stand up, and the microphone went away from my mouth. I was about to do the doo-doo, and it's like went like this. And
yeah. At the same time, Shelly went to stand up.
And got all tangled up in her cord.
Kind of an abbreviated attempt.
I just fell back down.
She hit the reset button and tried again.
Which, by the way, cords supplied by Robert M.
Robert, yes. Thank you, Robert.
This show sponsored in part by Robert M.
Yep.
Actually, quite a bit. Microphones and cords.
Between Robert and Bill.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what.
I got to do the shout-outs. I forgot.
I still have the Humble Trophy right here, by the way, for those who have forgotten about that.
Yes.
The Humble Trophy.
We have shout-outs to Fran, Elizabeth, Randy, Dan, Bill, James, Jane, Stryker, Alexandria, Georgette, Jack, Damon, Dakota, Natalie, Carol, John, Joey, Sally, and Howard.
Hi, Howard.
Howard.
Okay,
He's
found
the king of media, you know.
My man.
He's the king of media.
Howard.
I found this story, I don't know, a few days ago, and it made me laugh. Microsoft, in their infinite wisdom, has decided that they are going to attempt to create a chat robot that is AI, artificial intelligence, and will learn from its conversations. They debuted this 2 weeks ago on Twitter, and they've designed it to behave and talk like a teenage girl.
Oh, no.
That's not annoying.
Oh, no. Wait. There's going to be more to this.
Oh, yes. They had to take it offline within hours because it did learn. It learned really quickly. And it began spouting racist diatribes, conspiracy theories, and right before they took it offline, said that it wanted to destroy humanity. And then it said it was going to, yes, I would like to commit genocide. I would like to kill the humans. Just kidding. Ha ha.
Oh, wow.
They turned this thing on and walked away and left Encore Channel on. Blazing Saddles and Terminator played back to back.
Was this the name of this program Skynet?
I'm going to quote the Microsoft spokesperson said, the AI chatbot Tay, that was her name, is a machine learning project designed for human engagement. As it learns, some of its responses are inappropriate and indicative of the types of interactions some people are having with it. We're making some adjustments to Tay.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's Microsoft. What could possibly go wrong?
Everything.
Tay's going to take over. You know what she's going to form? Bot Lives Matter.
Yeah, but
what could possibly go wrong? Hello, I have two words for you. Windows 10.
I have
Windows
one,
8. Windows 7.5.
I have there one word go. For you. Cortana.
Oh, geez.
Cortana, which is the largest resource user in my computer, even though it's completely turned off. Yeah. It says, here's your Cortana settings. I'm like, off, 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 off. And I look and it uses more CPU than anything else in the computer.
And you have to continually turn it off again and again and again and again.
Including Windows. It uses more resources than Windows, yet it's supposedly turned completely off.
I'm really glad that our monitor doesn't have a camera attached to it.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
Does.
The one on the computer out there does not have a camera.
That does.
It might. You
yeah,
don't
this
know.
One
you're
does.
You're looking right at you. Yeah. We could put a little piece of black tape over it.
I'm gonna be taping up the one on my Kindle. That's for sure. Although my Kindle's usually turned off anyway. I mean, off the internet.
You think?
Well, if I disengage the Wi-Fi,
if you disengage your knowledge that the Wi-Fi is there,
that means you
can't
get. That means you can't get anything.
Thanks for making me paranoid.
Oh, no, that's...
I'll call you at 3 a.m. You'll be up.
Oh, by the way, in sort of a little bit of boozy news, which it's gone past a couple of weeks, but since we're talking about computer stuff, you heard about they were trying to get that information off the iPhones about the terrorist thing in San Bernardino, and they said, you know, Apple says, we're not going to help you. Didn't take long. The feds say, no, you don't have to help us. We get it. We got it.
We found some 17-year-old kid
exactly.
who just... Gave him 10 grand and he just cracked it immediately.
Yeah, some kid that cracks phones so that you can use iPhone on any network just said, oh, yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, here, just give me that.
Okay, Fran
said kid named Steve.
Yeah.
Fran sent this story in.
Fantastic.
Robert O'Neill, he's a U.S. former U.S. Navy SEAL. He is the one who has started claiming that he fired the fatal shots at Osama bin Laden. He was arrested on charges of DUI this week. He failed a field sobriety test, refused to take a breathalyzer, and once taken to jail, refused to take a blood test. So they don't actually have a BAC on him. He was charged with misdemeanor DUI offense. This was in Montana, Butte County.
All they do in Butte, Montana is drink.
He should have took the blood test because I'll tell you what. There's the arrest. There's all this. There's the booking procedures and all that. It's like... It gives you a couple good hours to drop your BAC a little.
Well, he was actually found asleep in a running parked car in front of a convenience store at about 2:30 in the morning. He's pled not guilty to the DUI charge because
he wasn't driving.
Well, he wasn't driving at the time, but the car was running. He said that he took a prescribed sleep aid, didn't realize it would act that fast. He said, the timing is bad, and I regret this decision. I immediately regret this decision. He said, but I am innocent of this charge. So we'll see what happens.
Milk was a bad choice.
Now, do you know what the I immediately regret this decision is?
It's Ron Burgundy, isn't
it? It's Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
How do you know that when you don't know the other one?
Because you told
me. Don't pretend that you're not impressed. I love that.
Elizabeth sent this one in, and the mugshot of this guy is classic. I expect the mugshot of this guy to go viral. This is out of Fresno, Bill's hometown.
Bill didn't get this?
Bill didn't get this. Elizabeth sent this in. 37-year-old Robert Lopez was arrested. Neighbors called the police when Mr. Lopez was out standing outside watering his lawn this Wednesday.
Was he watering it with?
With water.
His wee-wee? Oh.
Which, you know, you might think, oh, well, he's violating the drought ordinance. No, that wasn't why they called the police. They called the police because he is a large, extremely tattooed man, naked, watering his lawn.
Yeah.
He's the king of his own castle.
That's right.
Well, he's out front drinking beer, naked, and watering his lawn.
That's why he only has two names.
When the deputies showed up, he sat back down on his porch, naked, and drank his beer, and said that that he was not going to be arrested. He started threatening the deputy. Then he finished off his beer, chugged the bottle at the deputy, and ran inside to put on shorts. When he came back out, he was carrying an 8-inch knife, which he then threw at the deputy. The deputy used...
Is he now going down for attempted murder?
No, assault with a deadly weapon. Resisting arrest and misdemeanor for indecent exposure. They took him down with a beanbag shot out of a shotgun.
I congratulate the deputy.
For what?
Who didn't unload and reload his entire clip into this guy when he threw the knife.
Knife, yeah, really.
Yeah, and he was a minority, so there you go.
That's kind of a racist thing to say.
Yeah, what does that have to do with anything?
No, because you always hear about, you know, cops are quick to kill minorities. Here's a guy who has a minority throwing a knife at him. He doesn't shoot him.
Well, okay, now this one I was a little bit baffled at. In Wichita, Kansas,
yeah,
a 36-year-old man, the names of these people are not in the story, was arrested on suspicion of child abuse when a woman took her 2-year-old son who couldn't breathe to the hospital and they removed a small octopus from his throat.
What?
I saw that story.
Now, the police said the octopus was likely going to be used for sushi, which I debate severely because I saw the picture of the octopus and that didn't look anything like sushi-grade octopus to me. First of all, it was green.
Who am I to judge?
There's a lot of fish that are multiple colors.
I know, but I've never seen sushi-grade octopus that was green.
Well, you've never seen octopus from the coast of Japan, have you?
My kids started eating octopus when they were 3.
Well, I'm not saying that he wouldn't eat it.
James
Bond
ate octopussy.
There were also injuries to the boy's face. He was not breathing when he arrived at the hospital.
Well, no,
he is now
that was too big a bite.
Condition. No, the entire octopus came out of the kid.
I know, that was a big bite.
Well, I've seen people eating live octopus sushi before, and there's a video of this girl, and she's like, I mean, this thing is like, it's like attached all over her fingers and everything, and she's trying to get it in her mouth, and it's like, ugh. I love me some sushi.
That's a little bit too raw.
Yeah, I don't like it if it's fighting back.
I don't like to have to chase my food.
No.
Yeah. Somebody else can do that for me. Lisbeth sent this story in.
Lisbeth.
This April 7th, just this week, a 27-year-old man, Nicholas Johnson, called 911 because his mom was mad and yelling at him.
He still lives at home.
Huh?
Was she threatening him?
No, she was just angry
with
him.
With a switch.
Maybe she did threaten him, but he called law enforcement because, and I'm going to quote him here, my mother was mad and yelling at me because I smoked all the methamphetamine.
Bad kid.
I'll bet the cops were happy to get that call.
Well, neither one of them.
Because the meth was all gone.
Exactly. Neither one of them was charged with a narcotics offense. They were charged for disturbing the peace because there were no narcotics in the house. There was nothing left. Because
he smoked them all.
Yes.
There must have been paraphernalia. You would think they would have tested dirty.
How pissed off would you be?
I'm pretty pissed off.
If your kid slammed all your dope, Bruce.
I would have been pretty pissed. Yeah. Fortunately for me, I got sober years before my daughter was born.
Yes. Well, they were both screaming and cursing at each other on the front porch when the deputies arrived, so they were booked for creating a disturbance and disorderly conduct.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay, Elizabeth sent this one in. Elizabeth is on fire tonight. Tiffany Flores, 23 years old, was arrested for cocaine possession. She was also in a little bit of trouble because they the jailers found a crack pipe hidden in her vagina.
That's a really bad idea because it's probably glass.
Yes. The picture was...
How'd they find it?
Of a glass. Well, she admitted that the cocaine she threw out of the car window, they were pulled over. She and a friend were pulled over. Was hers because it was sitting on the ground right next to the car. And she admitted that it was hers, so she was charged with cocaine possession. Mm-hmm. She immediately flipped on our dealer, Nino, whoever he is. When they got to the county jail, she claimed she, because I guess they were, this happened in
Florida.
There you go. Sure. In Florida, they
answer so many questions.
They run all of the intakes through a scanner, a body scanner, to make sure they're not bringing in any guns or anything like that. She claimed that she couldn't go through a scanner because she was pregnant. Because if you're pregnant, you can get a pat down. But instead, they gave her a pregnancy test, which was negative. So she wasn't pregnant. So they shoved her through the scanner.
Yay.
Yeah. So they shoved her through the scanner.
Because it was Nino's.
Where they found that there was a foreign object lodged in her vagina. Then she admitted that she had a crack pipe in her vagina, but she didn't. She told them that the reason why she didn't say anything was because it belonged to a friend and she was just storing it for her.
Ooh.
Not sure I want that back.
That, you know what? And I'm thinking, I could not, as you were saying that, I could not get Bill Clinton out of my mind with the cigars. And I'm thinking, who's going to be hitting that pipe? Because for years after that, I used to think to myself, what does Hillary think every time he lights a cigar?
Yeah.
It's a flavor saver.
She thinks, gee, I wish she was home.
Well... She claimed that she was just storing the pipe there for her friend, one that was in the car with her.
How kind of her.
Because when they got pulled over, her friend handed her the pipe and said to hide this. So she immediately thought she should stick it in her vagina to store it for her friend.
Didn't anyone tell this girl what you're supposed to do when you're getting pulled over is you're supposed to... toss the thing out the window on a curve where the cops don't see you throw it and hope it goes completely, you know.
To pieces.
This public service announcement brought to you by Recovery 101 Radio. Thank you, Bruce.
I mean, who waits till you're pulled over on the side of the road and then dump it out the window? It's like the cops are like, I can see you throw that out the window.
I saw you do that.
Yeah, you're supposed to have you're supposed to have your passenger on a left-hand curve throw it out so that it goes off the side of the road.
Right.
And hopefully they don't even see you do it.
Right.
Well,
hence why I never got caught with cocaine when I was...
Elizabeth sent this story in.
Wow.
Farmington... somewhere.
I'm guessing Midwest.
Yeah. Parents of Kylie Nielsen, 13 years old, are suing... Oh, no, it's Utah. Sorry. They're suing their school district because they claim that their daughter suffered severe leg injuries during an alcohol impairment simulation exercise. The class at this junior high school, the class is called Drunk Goggles.
And is that anything like beer goggles?
They put VR goggles on the kid to... Simulate drunkenness.
Intoxication.
How you would behave.
What did she fall over?
Well, several desks, other furniture in the room. She basically fell over. She twisted her ankle and had multiple bone fractures.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they filed a $275,000 lawsuit. Now, what kind of school district thinks this is a good idea is what I want to know.
What you do is you put them in a padded room and then you do it.
Something like that, but to just stick the things on their head in the middle of a classroom.
To make you seem drunk in amongst a bunch of furniture. Yeah, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
Did Microsoft run this?
Well, the school district spokesperson had no immediate comment.
VR?
You know,
VR products.
It's not just this program where good advice would always be, why don't you play the tape to the end?
Yeah.
Exactly. Words for life. Yeah. Words to live
by. VR goggles provided by Microsoft.
Yeah. Okay, and this one is from Bill.
Yay.
Hey, is it a study?
No, actually, it's kind of sad. It's Patty Duke has passed away.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
and some of our younger listeners won't remember her. She
passed away.
That girl was Marlo Thomas.
Oh, wait a minute.
Patty Duke was in the Patty Duke show, she played
the Miracle Worker.
Miracle Worker. She won multiple awards for playing the Miracle Worker.
Yep. That's true.
On Broadway and in film, she won an Oscar for that.
That's right.
She died of sepsis.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah.
That she developed in the hospital. I guess she had a minor surgery.
Oh,
and
geez.
Developed sepsis and died. Now, interestingly enough, Bill sent this story in because last Christmas when he was here, that was what he was in the hospital for, was sepsis. He
right.
could have died the same. And he sent this story in. 258,000 Americans every year develop sepsis, and a significant number of them die from it. And I didn't know.
Makes me want to run right off to the hospital, doesn't it?
I knew that sepsis was very dangerous and that you can develop it. Well, and 74% of cases, people develop outside of the hospital just from things like scraping their knee or whatever.
By the time you know you have it, you're pretty freaking sick.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'll bet 250,000 is significantly higher than the people that die from drug overdose.
I don't know. I'd have to look up the numbers. I don't know, but that just surprised me. I was like, wow.
It's not higher than the number of the people that overdose, but higher than the number of the people that die from overdosing. Yeah.
Well, Patty Duke will be missed. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Looking for a new mattress? Not sure where to go or how to start? Want to make sure you get the best mattress for your money and one that will give you years of sleeping pleasure? There's only one answer, and that is Dreamland Discount Mattress in Covina. At Dreamland, Bruce and his dedicated team will ensure that you find the right mattress at the right price that will give you years of sleeping comfort. Dreamland Discount Mattress offers a wide range of options, styles, and choices, all at up to 80% off. Want to hear what many of their customers are saying about them? Check them out on Yelp to learn why you should become a satisfied customer of Dreamland Discount Mattress too. Go by and visit them at 1007 North Azusa Avenue in Covina, or give them a call at 626-331-8044. And remember, at Dreamland Discount Mattress, prices are always up to 80% off.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Shelly?
Something fell over there.
It's my empty water bottle.
Oh, okay.
Welcome back, Shelly.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Your dreams
are really weird lately.
Were your ticket out?
If those dreams are my ticket out, I don't want it.
So, Shelley, this is your topic.
The topic was, and make sure the board is running this time.
It is. Oh, this is a show, just so everyone knows. This is a show we were working on.
Last week.
Last week. And as we were recording, I look at the board, and it is frozen at like
33 minutes.
Yeah, well into the topic, boozing, all that stuff, and it never unfroze. And we had to reboot the machine and lost everything. So, Shelley, throw it out there and we'll it'll be just as good as it was before.
I hope
or
so.
Or it'll be something else.
Or yeah.
or it'll be completely different.
The
topic that I was wanting to discuss was legitimate fringe. People that are on the outside edges of the program that use the program to improve their lives, they may not necessarily always be sober as we would think of it, but like we have friends that were on multiple substances and they come to recovery to relieve themselves of their major problem. They've used the program to improve their lives and their lives have improved, but there's something they hang on to. They hang on to usually pot. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have friends that they go to meetings, they don't take cakes, they don't take chips, they won't share in the meeting, especially if they've been smoking pot or whatever. But they keep hanging around because it's helped them and it's improved their lives. And then we have people in recovery that say that that's not legitimate. They shouldn't be doing that. They're wasting their time, wasters
they
or
mock
whatever.
Them.
They mock them. They make fun of them. And I don't know that my opinion is we don't necessarily have a right to do that because the only requirement is a desire to.
But we're so smart.
I don't know that I'm smart. I know a lot of crap, but that doesn't mean I'm smart. So
well,
discuss.
Well, I would give an example. We have a good friend named Dave. Dave, our friend Dave, was a legitimately blown out crack smoker. I mean, with a fairly unlimited supply of money. It was being kind of administrated through him through his brother. He had his father had left him some natural gas wells or something. There was a continuous flow of money. And he came to Cocaine Anonymous, and he quit smoking crack. And he continues to smoke weed. Now, if you talk to him, he's very proud of the fact that, I mean, and it's been like 7 or 8 years that he hasn't smoked crack. But he still imbibes the weed. And he's very clear about it. He says, that's why you'll never see me take a chip. You'll never see me take a cake. He goes, even though it's been 7 years since I smoked crack, I know that I'm not really truly sober because I continue to smoke weed. And it's kind of hard to fault him on that because, A, like Shelley said, who am I to judge anyway?
Right.
And B, he has gotten rid of the thing that was literally destroying him. Mm-hmm. And the weed apparently is not destroying him. Now, I'm not saying that this is good for everybody. I kind of want to name this lunatic fringe because my experience is eventually you're going to go back to what you want to do. But it seems to be working for him now. And it's hard to fault someone that says, hey, you know what? I quit smoking crack 7 years ago. I haven't smoked it since.
And
my life isn't
better.
Falling down in ruins around me. My life is way better.
Yeah.
But I still smoke weed. Now, we know in AA, because of singleness of purpose, technically, he would be sober. Because,
right.
you know, AA right. is the only program that doesn't talk about all mind-altering chemicals the way CA and NA and HA and CMA and all these other A's say you have to quit doing everything. But he mostly goes to CA, so he never takes cakes or shares or anything like that.
Right.
So what do you think?
Well, I think that the program of recovery, that there's a lot of people in there that are awfully judgmental about people. Because I see...
And awfully is the term.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's us.
Yeah. You know, but I see people who come in and like you said, their lives get better. They stop doing what was killing them.
Yeah.
Some of them will even run through the steps and do a fourth step and make that effort. They just hang on to that one last thing. And some of them, like our friend Dave, have still expressed the desire to not do that, which is why they continue. One of the reasons they continue to come around. Eventually, maybe he won't.
And he's stopped it a few times.
Yeah. He has.
But I'll bring up the topic that always hangs out there for me, which is I can come into a program that says CA, using cocaine and all other mind-altering substances. And I go have surgery on my knee. And my doctor prescribes a painkiller and says, take one of these every 8 hours as needed for pain. And I take one every 8 hours as needed for pain. And when the prescription is almost gone, I'm done using them. I throw the rest away. Did I go out?
No.
No.
Okay. I have eye problems. My doctor prescribes marijuana.
Which is a highly prescribed thing.
Says, smoke this as needed for pain.
Or to reduce your ocular hypertension.
Right. So I smoke it as needed to reduce my ocular hypertension. Did I go out?
Technically, no. Now, Yep. The question then becomes,
uh-huh,
is there something else that you could do? Like, there's a number of drugs now on the market that use the, well, like, for instance, especially for, like, glaucoma patients, it's a big thing for them because it is really good at reducing your ocular hypertension.
Right.
But I've heard that there are drugs that extract some of the features of THC, which reduce ocular hypertension, but don't get you loaded.
No, what you've heard lately are the stories that they're right now, the research and development of those drugs is booming.
Yeah.
Because of the medical marijuana thing. Yeah. They're not approved yet.
Yeah.
Oh,
but well, they're on the way.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
will be great for people like us. But right now, they're not there.
Well, after knee surgery, I can alternate cold packs and Motrin.
Right.
That's an alternative to the pain medication.
Right.
It's not nearly as effective.
Well, and what Mark was saying, and I've heard Mark say this many times, I thought you were going to throw this in, and you may have been going to at some point anyway, but, you know, if the thing is one every 8 hours and you take eight every hour,
yeah.
Now you went out.
Yeah.
Because it's down to intent.
Well, yeah. Because, you know, if one is good, three eight is or way better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, you know, when they had that pill you could take to help you stop drinking.
What happens if you take two?
Yeah, if I take two, yeah.
Can you crush them up and snort them?
Can you slam them?
You know. I bet you can.
Yep. So,
how about you, Shelley? Do you know besides Dave? Do you know other people on the lunatic fringe or on the
legitimate fringe?
The legitimate fringe.
I think it's perfectly legitimate because I don't necessarily think of myself as being in the business of separating the wheat from the chaff. That's God's job. You know, and if this person says that the program is helping them, that's their program. I don't get to say whether it does or it doesn't. And we have a couple of listeners, actually, that have said that they are hanging on to that one last thing, but that the program has helped them immensely.
I'll give you an example, as we talked about earlier, my friend Dave.
Yeah.
Dave does a lot of church. Now, if Dave were to go to Celebrate Recovery or some other thing,
uh-huh,
or people in church, if he went to his church and said, I've quit smoking crack for 7 years.
Yeah.
He would get a zillion attaboys. That's great. That's fantastic. Even if he said, I drink occasionally,
they would
be like,
they
so
would
what?
Raise
That's
a toast
fantastic.
To him.
Yeah.
Well, it's like I have an online friend, and I've stayed on her friends list because I've enjoyed watching her journey. When I first met her through a game on Facebook or whatever, she was all strung out on meth. She went to, I think it was an NA group, and she got clean off of meth. Whoever was sponsoring her, whatever the mechanism, however she managed to do this, somebody did not educate her well enough, and she didn't realize that she wasn't supposed to occasionally have a beer at the church picnic or whatever. And when they found out, she was just absolutely emotionally devastated. They ridiculed her. They basically drummed her out of the meetings. And this is a 12-step program like we would go to.
And you can't drum someone out of a meeting.
She was shunned?
She was shunned, basically. And she felt horrible.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And I actually private messaged her. I said, don't do anything stupid just because a bunch of people were judgmental. That's not necessarily indicative of everyone in recovery, because she was just laying people out saying, how could you, you know, I didn't know that I wasn't allowed to do this and blah, blah, blah. So she started going to a Celebrate Recovery group at her church. She still hasn't done the meth. She still occasionally drinks a beer at a picnic or whatever. She posts a picture. But in the meantime, she got her kids back. She has a house. She got married. Her life has gotten dramatically better.
You know,
but people, because of the judgmental nature of that, they would claim that she wasn't.
If you drummed everybody out of meetings because they got loaded, meetings would be empty.
Well, but here's the thing. We all know as individuals, and I won't even say we all know because now I'm doing it too. I know as an individual in this program that I came in as a cocaine addict. Was I an alcoholic when I came in? No, I caught that here because I didn't realize what the ism was.
Right.
When I walked in the door.
The I self and me.
Once I realized what the ism was, Am I an alcoholic? Probably not by the definition of about 1,000 alcoholics that I know. But by my definition, when I drank alcoholically enough times to see where it could be a problem down the road.
Yes.
I was a high bottom drunk.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I drink, you know, reserve Cabernets and single malt scotches.
But, amateur.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. I still owned a watch. You know, I'd stolen it from somebody, but I still owned it.
The watch I came in with?
Yeah.
The last
Carl's
time?
Carl's
Jr.? My mother gave me a Carl's Jr. watch, which was like a $1.28 digital watch because she knew I couldn't trade it for dope. Yeah.
But so I knew of that I knew I couldn't drink. I knew when I smoked pot, I only smoked pot to come down after doing coke. But
not me.
I smoked pot before I started doing coke. And as a result of smoking pot, may not have been the gateway, but somehow I ended up doing coke.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was, but I know. So what I knew is the kind of addict and alcoholic I was, I couldn't do anything.
Right.
And I was close enough to death when I walked in the door that I was willing to not do anything.
Yeah, and I think that for me, the reason why I call it lunatic fringe is not for everyone else. For me, that like Mark was saying, I know myself well enough.
Yeah.
When I didn't think I was an alcoholic and I thought I was just a coke addict, when I went in and out and in and out and in and out, I almost always went out behind alcohol.
Yeah.
Like, almost exclusively. And you know why?
Why?
Because I was scared of cocaine.
Yeah.
The problem is, once alcohol dropped my defenses, cocaine seemed fantastic again. And I think that's like the thing with our friend Dave. Dave's thing is smoking crack. And he's like, apparently, when he smokes weed, he doesn't want to smoke crack. I think because he's, you know, he's too mellow. He's eating Doritos on the couch or something. And going to get coke just sounds like too much of a problem.
Just like, I'm pretty sure, because I've already got a coffee pot. All I need is a format to rewrite. And I can start Half Measures Anonymous. Identify the drug that's your problem and stop doing that. Come to meetings. We'll give you plenty of support.
Well, and I think, you know what? I think that support is really the thing.
Yeah.
It's difficult for people in program following the letter
to
of the law.
To not judge?
To following the letter of the law of most programs, which is all mind-altering chemicals,
but
leaving
that,
AA
but
to the
half
side.
Half Measures Anonymous wouldn't have that.
Well, no. But I'm saying for the regular person in a meeting, it's hard to support the idea of someone continuing to do something. Now, we know that this person's life has gotten better, and they know that.
Yeah.
And like our friend, he said, look, I know that I'm not really sober.
Yeah.
That's why you don't see me do any of these other things. But it's hard for people in a program that are saying don't do any mind-altering chemicals to kind of throw their support behind someone who's doing a mind-altering chemical. And I think, I don't know if it's a problem with the program or not. I don't even know if that's being judgmental per se, because what you're saying is, I run this meeting or I'm someone involved with this meeting, and this meeting asks that we stop all mind-altering chemicals, and you're saying that you still do a mind-altering chemical. It doesn't want to make me give you an attaboy. And I don't know if it's necessarily being judgmental or if it's just following the rules of the program. Now, I think the other guy's following the rule of the program because he's not sharing. He's not taking chips. He's not taking cakes. He's not pretending like he's completely sober.
Right. But let's go back to my point about the guy who's got marijuana prescribed to him in today's world, because today's world's a lot different from John Barleycorn, you know.
Well, and the thing I think what's really true is how many people get prescribed marijuana?
Yeah.
For just because they want to get low.
I get bummed out because I run out of marijuana.
I mean, there's
depression. There you go. Here.
I was down at UCLA one time waiting for my friend Yas, and there was a marijuana distributing place right next to a doctor that prescribes marijuana. And on his window, he had this laundry list of things you could get prescribed marijuana for. And I mean, like, everything. They had what is it, PMS was on there.
Depression,
and
aggression.
Excitability, depression, like every, And there was a parade going by, a student parade of some kind. There was a cop standing there, and I asked the cop, I said, hey, look at this window over here. I go, is there anything that you can't get marijuana prescribed for? And the guy reads the list. He goes, nope, apparently not.
Yeah.
You can get it. And the thing is, I'm a diabetic.
Uh-huh.
I have eye problems. Mm-hmm. I know that one of the things they give for eye problems is weed. Mm-hmm. It's been a long-term thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would be scared to death if they prescribed me marijuana because I'm an old-time dope fiend. I smoke marijuana like all the time, like to excess. I would be worried if they said do it as needed, that I would do it as needed because I'm a dope fiend.
You know what scares me even more? The kind of marijuana that's out there today.
Yeah, one hitter quitter.
Yeah, so. Shelly, you want to come back?
Well, I was
your topic. We hijacked it.
I think that, though, again, when Bruce says, I don't know that it's judgmental because these are the rules of the program, and I get that, but what I'm talking about when I say judgmental is I think that we do these people a disservice when it's kind of like, oh, yeah, that's great. You got sober. You got clean off of crack. However, but it's kind of keeping them in a position where they feel like they're not as good as the rest of the addicts and alcoholics because they can't quite do everything we do. And I think that we're doing a disservice to them in the future. Because they might just say, well, screw it. They say I'm not sober anyway, and then eventually end up doing what they didn't want to do in the first place.
Half measures anonymous.
Do you ever get the idea that some of those people might be saying, maybe I'm better than them because they can't smoke weed and go back to doing it, and I have been able to do that for 7 years?
No, I've never gotten that feeling from talking to them. And speaking just specifically, I mean, you guys are talking about, we've been talking about weed and drugs and stuff like that. When you're in an AA meeting, and this has happened to me, you've got the drunk that continually is the retread, gets a month, goes out. They come back in. This happened at the Pitzer meeting that I was the secretary of at one point. I wasn't the secretary then, but one of the newcomers comes running up to us and says to George, he was the treasurer, that there was somebody that was drunk next door in the meeting, and George and I looked at each other like, yeah, and? Because this is AA. This is where the drunks go. But all of these, you know, newer people had been taught that this is totally disrespectful. You shouldn't go to an AA meeting drunk.
But from my perspective,
that's exactly where you should go. You know, and I thought it was great that, because do you know how friggin' uncomfortable it is to sit in an AA meeting when you're drunk?
First of all, if you're drunk and you go to the bar, they won't serve you. So you got to go somewhere.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it's totally incredibly uncomfortable to be in an AA meeting when you're drunk and the guy's there anyway because he knows he needs to be there. So why are we judging him because he's drunk at the AA meeting? He's doing what he needs to do.
Because we've all done so well in our recovery that we just feel the need to have everybody be just like us.
Well, you know what? We're not all like that. And everybody gets it when they get it or they don't. But it's not my job to sit there in judgment on people like that. And frankly, the wet ones that come into the meetings are some of the most hilarious people ever.
Oh, they're so entertaining.
I actually got...
I quit going to comedy shows.
I kind of got a smackdown after one of our meetings. It was a Monday night meeting, actually, when I was the leader, not the secretary. Maybe I was the secretary then. Yeah, I think I was. I did not shut down a guy who was totally drunk, who stood up in the middle of the meeting to tell us how beautiful we all are. Because I was just so entertained, and I didn't say anything. Yeah. And he only talked for like 30 seconds or a minute or whatever, and then he kind of fell back over in his chair.
He did his Foster Brooks thing. And
and everybody clapped for him, and then we just moved on. But after the meeting, a couple people came up to me and said, you know, you really shouldn't allow that to happen. And I was like, well, it was funny.
Well, you know, we've talked about many times, and Mark's brought this up on the show, where it's a different program these days because – back in the day in AA, if someone was drunk or continually went out and came back drunk, he would catch it. I mean, he'd catch it from old timers because they'd be like, there was no kid gloves with these guys. They would sit there and tell them, you're going to die, you're this, you're that, you're this. And it's like...
But they wouldn't kick them out of the meeting.
No, they wouldn't.
They'd make them sit there and listen.
Your sponsee, Michael, came in with Jake. He came in every Thursday with 4 days. You know what that means? He left Thursday. He drank Friday. He drank Saturday. He quit drinking Sunday.
And then he came to the meeting.
Monday was day one. Tuesday was day two. Wednesday was day three. And he came in with 4 days on Thursday every week.
Yeah.
And sat next to me every week.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's different too. Like, in I don't want to keep bringing up Dave, but we have a guy that is specifically does this. But it's different than the girl at the CA meeting one time who was going to take a cake first, says, oh, I've got 16 years.
Yay.
And I dig my 16-year chip off my keychain and I give it over to the chip person. And the girl starts sharing. She goes, it's been 16 years since I did cocaine and I only drink once in a while. Because here's someone in a meeting where you're supposed to quit all mind-altering chemicals who is going to take a chip. Now, that's different than someone who says, I don't take chips because I know I don't deserve
them. Let me play devil's advocate on that. If I come into a Cocaine Anonymous meeting, and to me, the biggest thing in my life that was a problem, similar to Dave, is I quit doing cocaine. And I want to commemorate those years that I've not done cocaine anymore.
Go to CR.
And I come in there, and between me and my higher power, I'm good with taking a chip and being acknowledged for not doing cocaine anymore. And maybe I don't share I hardly ever drink beer anymore.
Well, you don't share that.
But, okay, well, because she was honest, you judged her as unworthy.
No, because she's trying to take a chip in a meeting that says no mind-altering chemicals. And last time I checked, beer was a mind-altering chemical.
But had she not, had she withheld that?
Had she not shared that?
So had she been, had she lied about it?
Or if she had just not mentioned it?
That's a lie.
So had she lied about it, you'd have been fine giving her the chip.
Right, because I wouldn't know.
So what difference does it make?
Because you can't take a chip in a meeting that says you have to quit all mind-altering chemicals if you're still doing a mind-altering chemical.
What if I give you the 35 cents for the chip?
Well, no, because at that point, no. Because then at that point, if you're honest about it and you don't take the chip and you're just there because your life is getting better and that's...
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. But you can't then take a chip because that's a bad example to the newcomer because it says basically that we're not... upholding our own
really
traditions.
So Half Measures Anonymous we need. So those people have a place to go.
Mark has solved it now. We used to call him the solution. He's brought it back.
I have a coffee pot already.
But do you have a strong enough resentment?
Nah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I don't care.
That's perfect. Half Measures Anonymous.
I don't care.
No, that's right. We forgot. Mark doesn't care.
Of all the many things that we don't
care
about,
this is one of them. Yeah. But, you know, I don't care about... I watch certain people do certain things. My son. My son has been diagnosed with... what you call it? Wow, I just lost it. Yeah.
That thing.
Yeah. Attention deficit disorder. I had it too. You know, my son had ADHD from the time he was in second grade, diagnosed. They put him on Ritalin. They put him on Vyvanse. They put him on every
bit of legal speed they had.
Every bit of legal speed they had. My son had trouble gaining weight. He had trouble eating. He never felt right.
Yeah, that's what happens when you do a lot of speed.
Yeah, my son now gets off work, smokes some pot, feels fine all the way through the next day. Starts to get a little antsy around 4 o'clock, but he doesn't smoke it before he goes to work because he knows that's a bad idea. Gets home from work and that's what he does, and you know what? He now feels comfortable. He feels like he's living his life. He eats better at night, matter of fact, and so he lives his life. And you know what? That's normal people using a substance that can help them.
Well, my daughter. Mm-hmm. My daughter smokes weed occasionally. Yeah. And, you know, and I always tell her, you know, you got to be careful about that. You've got an alcoholic addict mother. You've got an alcoholic addict father. And I remember the day she looked at me and she goes, Dad, she goes, don't judge me by you. She says, by the time you were my age, you're slamming cocaine. She goes, I smoke weed occasionally. And she goes, you know, you think I'm going to go off the rails because you went off the rails. Yeah. And she goes, I smoke. Once in a while. Matter of fact, I don't think she smokes that much anymore. She's actually gotten into the hookah thing. She's more likely to smoke hookah than anything else.
Just tobacco hookah, though.
Just tobacco hookah. Yeah, I remember we used to smoke hookah.
In Amsterdam, the hookahs have hash oil in them.
Yeah, well, when we were in college, we used to get those ones with the four tubes on them. And
oh, yeah.
Never did I waste so much weed in my entire life.
Yeah, I know. That was a waste.
Yeah.
But weed was cheap then.
Yeah, you get a four-finger dime.
Yep.
Four-finger dime. That's like half an ounce, you know. Yeah, commercial weed.
Buy an ounce of Coke, get a free tie stick. Gift with purchase.
Oh, my God. So, Shelley.
Yes?
What would your final words on legitimate fringe be?
My program's between me and my sponsor, my higher power, and so is everyone else's. It's not my place to tell them how they're doing it, unless I'm their sponsor, and then it might be.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even touch on that.
For another show.
What are your final words, Mark?
Not everyone who drinks or uses drugs is an addict or alcoholic to the nature that I am. Therefore, it is not to me to decide what someone else's level of sobriety is or is not.
Yeah, I would go along with that lines, but on the other way. The reason why I call it lunatic fringe is specifically because I know I can't do that. If I could do that, maybe I would.
If I could do that, I know I would.
But I can't, so I don't. Mark, we have friends back east and in the Inland Empire.
We do. You can go to the 12stepgazette.com or 12stepgazette.com/IE, and you can read the publications online of both of those online recovery newsletters. You can contact them and get a subscription and have them sent to you. But check them out, and they are just brimming with recovery.
They are. Shelley, you got a book out.
Yes, I do. It's available at Amazon. It's called Shelley Burnett Updated Her Status. You can go to Amazon, type that in, or type in my name. It'll pop up. It's available as an ebook. You can download it to your Kindle. If you don't have a Kindle, you can download the free Amazon reading app and get it that way. And it's cheap. So
it's
go get
less
one.
Than a latte at Starbucks, which I think is fantastic. Don't forget, we also have terminallyuniqueapparel.com where you can get recovery gear. We have the Sons of Anonymity t-shirts and hoodies. We have the retired, speaking of a lot about cocaine lately, we have the retired carpet farmer shirts. And we've got a bunch of shirts that are about to come out, so go check that out. So, Shelley, we have people that listen to the show.
Really? Still?
Yeah.
Shocking.
I know. Anyway, that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you're a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. Thank you. That helps us with our demographics. If you are not a member, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And fun.
You can like old shows and leave comments and topic suggestions. You can follow us. That'll get you automatic updates when we post the show. And you can put us on playlists for all your partying needs. Ooh.
Just as an addendum to that, when you talk about liking old shows, there is like 700 shows up there. And so there are plenty of shows. If you're not getting your fix, you can always go back and listen to old shows and like and comment on those as well. If you are Facebook friendly, it's really easy to join Podomatic. You will be presented with the thing that says, log in with Facebook. If you're currently logged in with Facebook, it'll log you in Tootsuite. You will not get spammed.
Tootsuite.
Oh, there it is again. Chitty chitty bang bang. You will get a single email saying there's a new show up. It, remember, though, if you follow like 20 shows, you will get 20 emails because you will get one every time every
just
one of them puts
follow
up a show.
Us.
If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 radio show fan page, as thousands of other people have. If you want to be anonymous about your recovery, you can join the Recovery 101 secret group. And as a secret group, you will not be able to find it, which makes it difficult to join.
But it'll drive you nuts.
But it'll drive you nuts. But you can message Bill Piper, Shelley Burnett, Bruce Burnett. We can add you to the group. You can also send us a message on the Recovery 101 radio show fan page, and we can add you to the group through that way. And we'll get you all hooked up. If we have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send topic suggestions. You can send rants and raves, although we'd prefer you did that on Podomatic. But you can do it there as well. If you are a recovering music artist or in a band that has recovering people in it, and you would like us to help promote your music with by playing it as lead-out music, you can send us some MP3s, which is the preferred format we have you send them in. Send us a picture you would like to us to use to make a clickable link, and then a link HTML address you would like that link to go to, be it Facebook or YouTube or someplace where you sell your music, and we will be happy to do that for free. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook. And youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelley, who sent us MP3s?
Who did lead out music?
How about our friend Damon?
Damon, everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Sanchez.